Based on the weather we've had this week, I seriously considered preaching what's known as the shortest sermon in the world. Y'all know what that is, right? It goes something like, sinners, if you think it's hot now, just wait. But I thought better of that. I thought, you know, you might actually like sitting in air conditioning for a few minutes. And I trust that when all is said and done, that this will not be like a young preacher who he'd prepared and worked on his sermon, and he was getting ready to deliver his first sermon, and his dad was in the audience, and at the end, he rushed up to his dad and said, "Dad, how did I do?" His dad said, "Well, first of all, son, you read it. Second of all, you read it poorly. And third of all, it wasn't worth reading." So I trust this will not be like that. Normally, I would have you stand for the reading of the scripture, but I have a lengthy passage, and because of the length of the passage, and in deference to my family, I know whoever's holding Ivy's arm's going to give out before I finish the reading. So I will not have you stand this morning, but our scripture passage is from 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. Now, just as a preface to that, the Philistines had been fighting with the Israelites, and the Philistines had come up with this very savvy plan. There was a giant in their midst, and yes, he was a real giant, and we know from history and from scripture, as you recall, when the Israelites were spying out the land of Canaan, they came back and said, "We can't take this land. There's giants there." And all indications there were that there was a country or a tribe of actual giants. But anyway, as it goes on here in 1 Samuel, we find that they came up with this plan that we'll put this giant Goliath out here, and we won't lose any people because we'll let him go one-on-one with somebody, and it's a winner take all. And so anyway, I'll pick up in verse 20. "So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel.'" Wow, he's going to make this person rich, he's going to give him a princess, and he's going to be exempt from taxes. Who wouldn't take that deal? "So then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him in this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done for the man who kills him.' Now Eliab," his oldest brother, David's oldest brother, "heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?' Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, he took out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Gracious and almighty God, creator and sovereign Lord of all, in a spirit of humility and worship, we ask that you bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of your word, that you open our hearts to receive the message you have for us today, that you open our eyes that we might see beyond the printed words on the page, and that you open our minds to understanding the truths you have given us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. This is one of my favorite Bible stories from the Old Testament. And David, as I have shared with some of you before, is one of my favorite Bible characters. Now, some would say, why? What is it about this story? It's about war and about violence and about murder. But I contend with you, it is much, much more than that. Now, in modern usage, the phrase David and Goliath, we hear that term a lot, has taken on a secular meaning, denoting an underdog situation. Everybody loves an underdog, right? An underdog situation where a contest where a smaller, a weaker opponent faces a much bigger and stronger adversary. Now, if successful, the underdog may win in an unusual or a surprising way. It's a phrase that's widely used in the media to characterize underdog situations in many non-religious contexts. Might be sports, might be business, might be politics. But see, I believe the media has it all wrong. Today's culture views the story of David and Goliath purely at face value. A young man of small stature defeating a giant of a man who dwarfs him in height, weight, and strength. But today's culture, the sports journalists, Hollywood, are completely missing the point of this phenomenal Bible story. Let me explain what I mean. Now, if we look up Goliath, the word Goliath, in a dictionary or a thesaurus, you'll find words like behemoth, monster, gigantic, or the phrase something or someone that is unusually large and powerful. The name or term Goliath is perceived as something larger than life, something that's too big to fail, too big to be defeated or conquered, an obstacle that cannot be overcome. Now let's face it, that's exactly the situation, how the situation appeared for the Israelites in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 verses 4 through 7, which is not in my passage, but give you a little background, tells us that Goliath was, and I did the math, I looked it up, about 9 feet 9 inches tall. Now that, my friends, is a big man. You know, wouldn't the NBA like to get their hands on him? You know, they've had the Shaquille O'Neals, they've had the Wilt Chamberlains, they've had the Kareem Abdul-Jabbars. He would tower over those people. He could dunk standing flat-footed. Scripture also tells us he had a bronze helmet on his head, a suit of bronze armor that weighed about 125 pounds. He had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. The staff of his spear, Scripture tells us, was like a weaver's beam, with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. Now, those are some astounding numbers and statistics. Look, just the weights and measures alone are enough to make you queasy at the thought of facing such a specimen, or the thought of a physical contest with this giant of a man. Not only was Goliath a gigantic human being, but he was also a defiant bully. Listen to what he says. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 8 and following, he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words, they were dismayed. They were greatly afraid. Now you see, that's normal. When we face difficult circumstances in life, we're paralyzed by fear often. Fear is a natural reaction when we're confronted with extreme difficulty or when we receive very bad news. It may be bad news about our health, about a loved one, about an accident, about a disaster. You know, the list could go on and on. But there's a better response than fear. Let's look at David. There's three things about David that we need to know. Three things I want you to know. Number one, David was a young man of great courage. We know that David was an Israelite. He was therefore undoubtedly well-versed in Jewish history, Jewish teaching, Jewish law. David no doubt recalled the words of Moses from Deuteronomy 31:6 that says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And then after Moses came Joshua. Joshua became the leader of the Israelites. And in Joshua 1:9, he repeats almost that identical message. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, David had tended his father's sheep, and he'd contended with wild animals and predators, and by his own account, he'd fought off lions and bears. And though he did not know the Apostle Paul nor the writings, because the New Testament was yet hundreds of years from being written when David was alive, but let's keep in mind, God's word transcends time. David no doubt understood Paul's message to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, which reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now we notice back in 1 Samuel 17:24, says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man Goliath, this giant, they fled from him. They were dreadfully afraid." And this had been going on, Scripture tells us, for 40 days, every day, day after day after day. It was the same deal. They fled. David didn't flinch. Instead, David heard a message. David heard a calling. David heard a plea for a Savior. Now, I want you to visualize with me for a minute. I can just visualize this young shepherd boy's heart starting to pound and his adrenaline starting to flow when he said, back in verse 26, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?" And then when he's responding to his oldest brother because of his anger, he says, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" You see, brave men will fight for a cause. David showcased his courage again in verse 32 when he said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Why was David so fearless? Why was he so courageous? Because David understood. He understood the words of Moses. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. For the Lord your God, he's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. See, my friends, we've got a God that's bigger than any fear we'll ever face. In the face of our gravest danger, or in the presence of the worst news we could possibly receive, we have a God that will never leave us or never forsake us. Number two, David was a young man of great confidence. 1 Samuel 17:45-47, David said to the Philistines, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day the Lord will deliver you, and I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David's telling Goliath that today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, he's going to cut off his head. He's going to slay the entire Philistine army and feed them to the buzzards and the coyotes. But David doesn't have a knife or a sword or a spear. Nothing with a sharp edge. How's this going to happen? All he's got is 5 small smooth stones and a slingshot. Now, my friends, I'll submit to you that's either extreme arrogance, great confidence, or tremendous faith, or some combination thereof. Now, some would say that's arrogance, or David was boasting, or he was bragging. I have a friend who used to say, "It's not bragging if you can back it up." Did David back it up? You bet he did. Did he deliver on his statement to Goliath? Absolutely. Now one might say, hold on a minute. How could David have such confidence facing a heavily armed and armored giant when he had nothing but his staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones? It's just not possible for a young, basically unarmed shepherd with little to no protection to have won this battle. Friends, it's not possible that someone at 99 years old, like Sarah, conceived and had a child. The virgin birth is not possible in human terms. The resurrection is not possible in human terms. First of all, let's dispel the impossibility. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Luke 18:27, "But he," Jesus speaking, "said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Second, to clarify that David was unarmed, we need to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, which reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." You see, Goliath had a plate of bronze armor, but David had a breastplate of righteousness. Goliath had bronze greaves on his legs, but David's feet were protected with the gospel of peace. Goliath had a bronze shield, but David had a shield of faith. Goliath had a bronze helmet on his head, but Goliath had the helmet of salvation. Goliath had a sword and a spear, but David had the spirit of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You see, the key to David's confidence was what he knew and what he believed. David said, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, that all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now that phrase, "the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel," that's a phrase that describes the enormity, the vastness, the magnitude of God. He's a God of creation. He's a God of the universe. He's bigger than all that was and is and ever will be. And nothing is impossible with God. David was a young man of great confidence because he knew what he believed, who he believed in, and whose battle it was to start with and end with. See, we can have great confidence when we let go and we let God. We can have great confidence when we come to realize that it's not our fight. It's not our battle. The battle is the Lord's. Number 3, David was a young man of great character. We know from the scripture passage that David was the son of Jesse. He was the youngest of eight sons. He was a keeper of sheep, a shepherd. He was young and he was handsome. Verse 42 says he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. Now those are physical characteristics. But who was David really? 1 Samuel 16:1 says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" And verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, for the Lord does not see as the man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" In the story of David and Goliath, see, we're often guilty, just as the world is, of seeing a young shepherd boy and a giant. God saw a giant of faith and a demon to be defeated. When David was brought before Samuel, scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 16:11, the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And in 1 Samuel 18:14 says, "And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." See, David undoubtedly embraced the message of encouragement the Apostle Paul gave to in 1 Timothy 4:12, when Paul was encouraging young Timothy and said, "No one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." David was certainly an example in conduct and in faith. In the book of Acts 13, 22, 23 says, "And when he," God, "had removed him," Saul, "he," God, "raised up for them David as a king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus.'" See, David was chosen by God. Matthew 22, 14 tells us, "For many are called, but few are chosen." David was among God's elite. He was the anointed one. He was a man after God's own heart. From David's lineage would come the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, Jesus. In David, we see many characteristics of Jesus. David was obedient to his father. When Jesse asked him to tend the sheep instead of going to Saul and the army, David tended the sheep. When Jesse asked him to take provisions and check on his brother, David went. David was a willing servant. When Saul's army cowered in the face of the enemy, David said, "I'll go." David was willing to sacrifice himself that many might live. David had great faith. He put his life in God's hands and trusted the outcome. David was victorious in an impossible situation, just as Christ was victorious over the grave. So we might say David's character was a godly character, literally. See, the story of David and Goliath is not the story of an underdog at all. It's a story of a faithful and willing servant and the power of an almighty God. Never, ever, ever underestimate the power of the mighty God we serve. Never underestimate what God can do through a faithful, obedient, and a willing servant. Now, when I was in college, I had a religion professor who we got to be good friends, but we had lots of arguments. And he used to tell me, "You just give God too much credit." And I'm like, how can you ever give God too much credit? Because we'd have a story like this. And I'm like, God showed up. You know, now the scholars and the people will pick this story apart. And they try to explain, and they'll say, "Well, Goliath had an opening. this big. And David was very good with his slingshot. And it was a perfect shot. I don't deny any of that. I'm telling you what I believe is God showed up in a very powerful way. No, the story of David and Goliath is not an underdog story at all. It's a story that should make us want to proclaim to the world what an awesome God we serve. It's a story that should encourage us to proclaim Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a story that should make our hearts rejoice and cause us to proclaim, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. See, there's a Goliath in all of our lives. I don't know what your Goliath is. It might be health problems. It might be work. It might be a job situation. It might be a relationship gone bad. It might be an addiction of some kind. It might be finances. It might be unconfessed sin in your life. Only you can answer, what's the Goliath you're facing today? You don't have to face it alone. We have a God, a Savior, who will never leave us nor forsake us. The battle is the Lord's. He can handle your Goliath. Won't you trust him? Won't you trust him to do that today? I'm going to ask Tim to come as we have a time of invitation. And however you need to respond, I ask that you respond.